Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. We have been seeing some of you in the night meetings in the week that's coming to an end, and I'd like to thank you for your presence in our evening meetings and for the interest that you have shown, and I trust that the Lord will have blessed you in those meetings as you have listened to the studies of prophecy. Tonight's our last meeting. I don't know if you'll be able to get out or not, but it's been an encouragement to see you in the meetings. And also it's been good to hear of the results that come in there in January, and I'd like to congratulate those who obtained good results. The Lord's mercy is upon our wee school, and we look to Him to bless it in the future and strengthen it as only He can. Now we're turning this morning to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Nice to see some of you with your Bibles open there already. And we're looking at the verses 20 to 22. In the providence of God, we began to look at these verses last Friday, and how appropriate these verses are, given the meetings of the week that's coming to an end now in the church in the evening times, when there has been a looking at prophecy. Because the same thoughts are found in these verses as have been set before the folk who gather each night in the church to consider prophecy and the coming again of the Lord Jesus and the events that lead up to His coming again. Because in the verses 20, 21 and 22, you see that God's people way, 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 way back have been, like us, thinking of future times. That has always been in the mind of God's people. Always they have been thinking of the future and what it is God has planned. Now, if you're anything like what I was like when I was at school, and anything like those who were with me in school all that long time ago, we never came to school without thinking of the summer holidays. We were always thinking of the summer holidays, thinking of when we would get off school and be able to scamper about day after day without having to come to school. We looked forward to that with great anticipation. Well, God's people are looking forward to what I might call the summer holiday, when the labours of this world, this life, will end, and we will arrive in heaven. We will arrive in heaven. What a holiday that will be, if I might use that term. All right, let's read the verses 20 to 22. Are you listening? By faith, that is, by what he believed to be true, what he had heard from God, and he was believing, cherishing, loving, and looking forward to what he had heard God tell him. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, his two sons, concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bone. Now may the Lord bless that little brief reading. We were only able to look at verse 20 last week. You remember, I hope, something of what we said then? By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. We noted how that Isaac, like Abraham, his father, was thinking of the future. And he wanted his sons to think of the future. And here I am today, speaking to you, and I want you to think about, not just today, but I want you to think about that which will happen in this world. God has a plan, God has a purpose, and he's going to bring it to pass. And we should think about, contemplate, meditate, understand what God is going to cause to happen in this world. What God is going to cause to happen in this world. God has a plan, And although men turn their back on what God has said regarding the future and laugh at it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just as the prophets in the Old Testament times spoke about the coming of the Messiah the first time, and there were many near and laugh and say, it'll never happen. It happened. It happened. I remember a story of an old preacher one time was in the open air and he was preaching the gospel and somebody shouted at him, "How do you know Jesus Christ ever was born?" And the old preacher, and he was helped by the Lord in this, for the Lord came just right there and then and said, "Here's what you will say in answer to that fella." The wonderful thing how God helps his servants when maybe otherwise they'd be stumped and stuck. But the Lord said to the man, "Here's how you will answer him." And the old man, for he was an old preacher, he looked at the man who had just shouted, "How do you know Jesus was ever born?" And he said to him, "What's today's date?" And the man said, "Well, today is," and he rhymed off the date. "And what year is it?" And again the man was puzzled, and he told the year that it was. And the old preacher said, "And what is that year numbered from?" And suddenly the man began to realize what the preacher was getting at. "What is today's date?" "This is the 6th of March. And what's the year?" 2020. "Right. Well, from when did we begin to count the years?" 2020 years from when? The coming of Christ. So across the whole world today, on every calendar, the year is 2020. 2020 years from the coming of Christ. So the whole world, maybe unconsciously, mark the coming of Christ. Register the coming of Christ. Oh, the Lord Jesus really came. And as he really came the first time, he's really coming the second time. And we need to think about that and prepare our minds and our hearts and our lives for that great event. So we look then at what we read concerning Jacob in the verse 21. "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff." Now, Jacob followed the example of his father, Isaac. It's always good, boys and girls. If your dad or your mother loves the Lord, it's always good to follow in their steps. It's not just good, it's absolutely vital that you follow in their steps. If they're saved, then you make sure that you too have joined them. Can you imagine when Noah had finished building the ark and the Lord said, "Right, go into the ark," and there he was going up the old gangplank through the door and into the ark, and had he looked back and there was one of his sons standing, waving bye-bye. "Are you not coming in?" "No. I'm just going to stay here. I'm not going to go with you." Can you imagine that happening? It didn't happen. It didn't happen. They all came into the ark. But can you imagine what Noah would have felt if it had happened? Can you imagine what your mom or your dad would feel if you're standing, not coming into the ark of salvation? Will you join them? Please join your mom and dad in Christ and be saved. And Jacob, he was one who followed his father Isaac, followed him in life. He was saved. He believed in the Lord and what the Lord had to say regarding salvation. And now when he's coming to die, he's doing what his father had done. He's speaking to his children. Verse 20 says, "Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Verse 21 says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship leaning upon the top of his staff." And when he blessed the two sons of Joseph, he spoke to them about things to come. Indeed, he not only spoke about the things to come to the two sons of Joseph, but he gathered all of his sons, we're told, in Genesis chapter 49. You look at Genesis 49. That's turning back the clock a long way. Genesis chapter 49, the first book of the Bible, the chapter 49, And listen to what we read there in the first verse. Genesis, right to the front of the Bible. Chapter 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. The last days. This is a long, long, long time before the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2020 years have passed since the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So all those years ago, we find Jacob talking to his sons and telling them what their descendants would experience in the last times. The last times are important times, boys and girls. And God would have us think about them. And do you know something? You are the generation that are nearest to the last time above all generations. No one has been nearer to the last times than you. You're the nearest. And it is most likely, more likely than ever it has been before, that you will see what God has said will take place in the last time. The chances are you'll see it. Doesn't that make it important for you to consider what God has to say? So here is Jacob, and like a good father, he's speaking to his son of things to come. He wants them to think about things to come. He wants them to dwell in their thoughts about things to come. Gather yourselves together, he says, that I may tell you that which shall, not might, or perhaps, or maybe, but he says, I want to tell you about the things that shall befall you in the last days. We can be certain about what God has said regarding the last days. Hearken to Israel your father, that you would listen to what God has to say. It was very much then in the minds of godly men, way, 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 way back then, over 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. This is what men were thinking about and wanted their children to think about. He imparted a blessing to his grandsons and all that were to follow. He was desirous of their spiritual well-being right to the very end of his life. He blessed, it says, the sons of Joseph. He blessed them. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, if your dad loves the Lord, and I'm sure he does, he will want to bless you, telling you of what God says shall come to pass. He died, we're told, old Jacob, he died leaning on the top of a staff and worshipping the Lord. That's how he died. That's how he died. When Jacob died, his eyes were upon the Lord. He had just had his eyes upon his sons, and doubtless all of their sons and daughters, they would all have been gathered to his deathbed, and he had looked upon them, and looked upon them with love, delighting in them. But then as the final moments of his life came, he was looking to the Lord, worshipping the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Oh, what a lesson that is for each one of us. He died not in fear, not trembling and frightened, but he died in joyful anticipation. He could see where he's going. He knew the one to whom he would soon stand before, worshipping the Lord. For the Christian, there's nothing to fear in death. The world out there trembles at death, and if it doesn't tremble, it ought to tremble. Because the world out there is not saved and it's going to an awful, awful eternity. But you and I, if we're under the blood of the Lamb and we're saved and our sins are forgiven, we're going to a glorious home. We're going to a home so glorious. Your eyes and your mind are not capable of taking in all the splendor, all the splendor. Moses one time said, Lord, show me your glory. That was a natural request. Show me your glory. Let me see thee, Lord, in all thy glorious beauty. And the Lord said, well, all right, Moses, I'll answer your request, but I can't show you all my glory, because no man can see me and live. It's just too wonderful. And so he hid Moses in a cleft in the rock, a hollow place in the rock. He put him in there and put his hand over him, and then he passed him by, and as he was passed, he took away his hand, and Moses was able to look out on the train. You know what a train is, a bride's train, not a train you ride in, but you know what a bride's train is. You girls know what that is. That's the trailing, usually a net or a veil type adornment that comes behind her. That's just the tail end of the beauty of the dress that she's in. Well, Moses just saw the train of God's glory. Couldn't look on the full glory, because it would have been too much for his eyes, for his heart, for his mind. Couldn't take it in. You and I can't even imagine what the glory of heaven is like. But one day we will see it all. One day we will see it all. We have nothing to fear regarding death. And so he passed away. His earthly strength had gone. It said he worshipped the Lord leaning on his staff. His days were done. His strength was gone. He required a staff to prop him up. And so he passed out into eternity, thinking about and wanting his sons and family to think about that which was to come. Then let's look quickly at Joseph. See what it says? Verse 22. By faith, Joseph. Here they are, same faith. The same faith is moving all these people. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, now Joseph. Faith. Oh, I trust you boys and you girls share in the faith of your mum and dad. When you come to God's house and mum and dad are singing from the hymn book and opening the Bible and worshipping the Lord, that you are sharing in that faith. You too love the Lord. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Again, you have evidence that in the mind of this godly man, at the end of his life, when he gathers his family about him, what does he talk about? I've left you nice farms. I've left you plenty of money in the bank. He's moved to speak about God's promise. You see, God had promised Israel that though they were in Egypt, at that time, I'm going to take you out of Egypt in my day, in my time, according to my plan. I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and I'm going to bring you to the promised land. And Joseph believed God, and he expressed his faith in God by saying to his children, "Now, don't bury me here in Egypt. I'm about to die, but don't bury me here. But rather, if I might put it like this, store my old body." The Egyptians, you know, I think I'm right in saying that they probably were unique in that they had a way of so working with the human body after death that it didn't decompose the way it normally would. They, to use the phrase in the Bible, embalmed the body. It's a practice that's still going on today, and it began, it would appear, with the Egyptians. And so the body of Joseph was embalmed, not buried in the ground in the grave as is normal, but embalmed. Because you see, Joseph said, "I want you to take my body. When you leave in God's time and go to the promised land, I want my body to be brought with you. Carry up my bones," he says, "to the promised land and bury them there." He was speaking in faith. By faith, Joseph. He believed God. He believed they were going one day to leave Egypt and go to the promised land. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And by so doing, he was again wanting his children to think about the future, what God had said, and how that God's promise would be fulfilled. It's good for fathers to ever make mention of God's promise to their children. I hope your dad talks to you about what God has said, speaks of what God has promised to do. He's going to take us out of Egypt. Oh, not the geographical Egypt, but the Egypt of this world. Egypt was a place where, in the end, Israel wasn't very welcome. And you know what the Egyptians did? They made them slaves and made them work very hard and toil, made life very miserable. Well, that's how it is in this world. This world tries to make life as miserable as possible for Christians, and it's going to get worse. But God's going to take us out of this Egypt and bring us to the promised land of heaven. That's what he has promised you, if you're saved today. He commanded that they take his bones with them and bury him in Canaan. That's how confident he was. He died believing one day God would take them out, and he wanted even his bones. Don't leave my bones even in Egypt, but carry them up to Israel, the promised land. We don't want any part of this world, and we don't want any part of us to be left in this world. Is that how it is with you? You young lassies in particular, think about this. You're the older here, the oldest ones, and you're open to temptation. Leaving school soon, and the world is beckoning. Follow us. Come see what we have for you. Oh, don't forget what God has said. This world will perish, and all who link themselves and tie themselves to this world will perish. But those who have turned their back upon it and have followed God and obeyed him, there is that world to come awaiting them. May the Lord write his word on your heart today, and may you know Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I ask thee to bless your word to the boys and the girls. Give them understanding of these things. Thou art able to do that. Little Samuel understood when God spoke. David was young, and he too understood what God had said. Lord Jesus, when you were but a boy, you were able to discuss the eternal things of God with the doctors of the law. Oh, give to our children here such understanding, and grant your blessing on the school today, upon its teachers and its pupils, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.